Hello, everyone. This is Eugene Starks, NAHU president. Welcome to The Jump Off, where we take a big leap into everything leadership and NAHU.
This week's edition of The Jump Off, the final presidential edition of The Jump Off podcast, was recorded live over Zoom. If you'd like to watch this video version, which I recommend that you do, you may watch that on NAHU.org, under Membership Resources, under Podcasts, under The Jump Off. That's NAHU.org, under Membership Resources, under Podcasts, and then The Jump Off. Enjoy!
Hey, I know people are kind of filing in and getting their seats, but I just want to welcome everyone to The Jump Off podcast. Now with the immediate past president of NAHU, Eugene Starks, and my very capable and amazing co-host, Emma Fox. How are you today, Emma?
I'm doing fantastic, Eugene. I've been looking forward to this all week, and we have done a live before. We did the Capitol Conference live, and it went surprisingly well for a live show, so I feel pretty optimistic about this one, too.
Yeah, and I know we wanted to do it live from annual convention, and I know just the logistics for that, we were so jammed with so many agenda items. And, I made the comment, I think, in the House of Delegates, which is a great place to make the comment, right? But I wasn't hungover once at the annual convention, because if I went in a meeting, I was preparing for my next meeting. It was a lot of work. So
I saw your agenda. I saw that you had a very neatly organized agenda. For those of you that didn't run into Eugene, you had, I almost said file of facts. Oh my gosh, I'm showing my age. But you had an agenda in front of you, and you had to be somewhere, it felt like, every single minute. So this is a good segue, because the point of our last presidential jump off here is to really review your year. And annual convention was sort of the crescendo for you as president, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's designed to be that. It's designed to be that for all of our presidents. And, you run annual convention at the end of your year, and it's certainly a lot of work, but it's a celebration of the year that was. And it's also very pivotal for launching the new year for the new president, which everyone knows is Kelly Fristo. And so it's very crucial that, that we certainly celebrate, recognize all of the accomplishments, but also lay the foundation for the new president to come in and for us to continue to move forward. And I did tell Kelly, of course, one of the things we exemplify very well is the peaceful transition of power. But I told Kelly, I thought I saw some protesters out there, but I wasn't going to let that get in the way.
Well, I'm excited for this particular episode, because we've spent all of this year interviewing some incredible people, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But what I learned in this year being your co-host and serving under you, actually, on the Leadership Development Committee, which is now being run by the incredibly capable and innovative Stacey Fry, I learned that being president is a lot. I mean, even more so than it looks. So tell us a little bit about being president, because it's not just a year-long commitment, right? You sign up for the preparation, the succession planning of several years to serve this one year. Was the entire process worth it for you?
The entire process was absolutely worth it. I mean, it was an amazing experience. Early on, somebody told me, enjoy the ride. And I can tell you, it's not a ride. I mean, you're driving, you're not along for the ride. You're really at each point of it, you're driving a part of the association. And so it's a lot of work. Secretary, because I'm terrible at taking notes and getting the minutes done and all that kind of stuff. And we literally have to do that as secretary. And then, I've always said treasurer was the toughest job, because really you're responsible. I mean, it's, that's really where all the pressure is, if you will, to really drive the fiduciary accountability that we have as the board. And I always said that was the toughest job until I became president, honestly. being treasurer is tough, and being president, being treasurer doesn't compare to being president. The demand on the time, everything is in your wheelhouse. Everything that's going on is of concern. You know, whereas, you know, each step of the way you have a scope of responsibility, but when you're president, ultimately, you know, the buck does stop with the president. Mm-hmm. So it was an amazing amount of work. It was an amazing amount of fun and excitement. It was definitely worth it. And to know the things we've accomplished, we're laying a foundation, and we're really, you know, laying the foundation for what's going to be, I think, an amazing future.
Well, let's expand a little bit on that for anybody that's on the call or will listen to this later that's thinking one day being president is in the cards for me. Because we were just talking before we kicked off this webinar that it really doesn't stop once you're done being president. You're still going to be traveling to a variety of chapters. You still have your regular day job. You still have a lovely wife and a beautiful dog and some children. How is it balancing things now in your first couple of weeks of, quote, freedom versus what it was for your year of president, which seemed really hectic?
Well, you know, it's certainly easier. And one of the things, you know, maybe all of you feel, but certainly all of us in leadership, when we get past convention, there's really about 2 weeks where nothing's going on. And everybody's doing their best to make sure nothing's going on. You know, we're trying to recover from the energy and excitement that it takes to get through annual convention. You know, some staff, because it's a lot of work on them, will take some vacation. So, you know, not too bad. But, you know, Emma, I mean, you've had some insights. We were talking about, you know, I just got back from Dallas, Texas yesterday with a client meeting. I've got some important people coming into town next week that I'm going to spend a couple of days with to help talk strategically about what we're doing in employee benefits space. You know, some other meetings. So, you know, now it's ramping back up to my regular busy schedule for work, which my partners are excited about. And, you know, but I still have some commitments. And I'm thankful a lot of our associations and members, you know, our state and local chapters still would like me to come out and visit with them and talk to them about my perspective, certainly on the association, but also on our industry. And I'm excited to do that because we're still here to build each other up and to build up our association and make our profession the most professional, most awesome, effective association professionals we can.
That's awesome. Eugene, I think you did a fantastic job. And I got to see sort of the presidency unfold a little more from the inside than most. And I was so impressed with how you led, but how you also let a lot of us committee chairs lead for the year as well. So let's talk about your accomplishments this year. When you look back at the year, what are you most proud of that occurred under your presidency?
Well, I think maybe one of the things, and you know, you sent me, look, full disclosure for everybody listening, Emma sent me some notes saying, like, we're going to probably talk about this. We might want to be prepared, which, you know, I'm kind of like a Boy Scout. I think I'm pretty much, you know, be prepared a lot of times, hopefully all the time. But you saying what you said did make me think that you recognized that I didn't want to be in control of everything. You know, I gave a lot of thought to who we asked to chair the various committees and task groups. And there were people I trust, people who I knew were leaders. And so knowing that, you know, we talked about a vision for leadership development. What was chapter leadership development? Now leadership development. We talked about a vision for that. We talked about that well ahead of the year that you became chair and I became president. And, you know, had similar conversations with all the committee chairs. Once you do that, you know, I can probably only get in the way if I try to control that too much. So that may be the thing I'm most proud of, is that everybody understood they had agency, they had authority, and they had the, you know, the challenge, if you will, to be creative and think about how do we make everything we're doing better for our members. So that might be the thing I'm most proud of. I think one of the sort of not a committee or a check the box thing, but I think culturally we've seen a shift over these past few years, and a lot of that shift happening this year during my year as president, where there's much more of a dialogue about how do we impact our healthcare delivery system. Within the scope of the work we do as benefit advisors, healthcare is not the only thing we do. We do a number of things. But the pain point, the greatest pain point for most of our clients, is their healthcare spend. And so, you know, we were effective at convention. We want to get better at it. But, you know, we actually had some doctors invited to be a part of our conversation about how do we address the challenges in healthcare. So I think, you know, one of the things that I'm most excited about is this mind, you know, shifting our thinking to understand we have a role and a responsibility to be at the table and try to reshape what our healthcare system is going to look like. So I mean, that's huge.
You know, I'm fully aligned with that. And, you know, there was a couple of questions coming up in the Q&A. Please feel free to use the chat too, if it's easier for you guys. If you want to share the question more publicly, the Q&A, I think Dan mentioned that only we can see that. But this is a great segue. There was an attendee who said, first, can you shout out your support for new members on this call? But can you also talk about the process of how the new name came about? It did happen under your presidency, and this is not just a notable item under your leadership, but it's a really big change for NAHU as an association. I mean, one that I haven't seen so big in several years. So can you give us a shout out to the new members, but also talk a little bit about what's the vision with this name change?
Well, so to the first point, yes, welcome. Welcome all of the new members. We're excited to have you on this, you know, on this chat, on this podcast, whatever this thing is we're doing. And we're excited to have you as a member of the association. Now, Em and I were new members at one point. I know that's hard to imagine. And I remember, you know, sort of my bewilderment and, you know, just really kind of knew I needed to get in, but really lack of understanding of the scope of everything we're doing. And so it should be a great and exciting time for you. And I'm just going to encourage you to jump in with both feet. If you're in this profession, you've got something to lend that will benefit the association as a whole. And you've got a ton to learn. So, you know, jump in, be a learner, and be a leader. So welcome. And, you know, I will say, you know, yes, the name changes is the most significant thing we've done, not only in years, but probably in decades. It's no small consideration to rebrand yourself, to change your name and to undertake a huge rebranding. But I think the name change just so naturally flowed from basically the mindset change that had already occurred. You know, we don't do the field underwriting like we used to do when I first got into the business nearly 30 years ago. And, you know, been married to my wife for 35 years, she still kind of doesn't understand quite exactly what I do. But when I talked to her about the name change, she literally said, benefits and insurance professionals, now I understand. You know, like the space you're working in. You know, when I said health underwriter, she, you know, for years was confused. So I think, you know, the name change, you know, we certainly had to be very intentional. We built the right task group, the right leadership team around, you know, vetting the process. The board was amazing. The questions, the introspection, and then just the sheer willingness to take a risk and really come together, because there was one point in all of the discussion where the board members all were on the same page that it was time for a change. But, you know, distilling that down to what is that new name going to be? You know, there was one point where I thought, oh, I'm about to blow this. You know, I've got this one big thing going on. I'm about to blow it because, yeah, we're trying to build consensus. You know, we don't like to do things by a majority vote. We like to move forward on consensus, you know. And, you know, we just literally recessed the meeting and took a few days and met about a week later, and everybody had time to process, and we're able to move forward with consensus. So, you know, I think going back, yes, you know, timing was right. We had the right leaders involved, great, strong commitment from the board and the staff, you know. But, you know, while it's significant in and of itself, I think it's largely symbolic of how we see our role has changed and the importance of our roles going forward. So, and, you know, there's some new members on. You know, the reaction from younger and prospective members already has been overwhelmingly positive because now they understand this is what they're a part of. You know, that's what they feel like they're doing. And now they understand we're here to help them do that.
You know, I think you're right, Eugene. I was a little hesitant on the name change. You and I talked about this. Not hesitant that it needed to occur. I think a name change was far overdue. But just like we heard in town hall, there was always going to be a difference of opinion on what that name was going to be. And we knew that, you know, 100% of people were not going to agree. And while there is some transitional stuff that has to happen at chapter level for sure, I think it's more recognizable in terms of what we do. And I wonder if that would actually give us more leverage when we're talking about that legislatively, where that information is coming from, rather than associating us with something that we don't really do in our day-to-day job. So that's one thing that came out of your leadership. And I know it was a board effort, but I think that's going to leave quite a legacy under your presidency. You should feel particularly proud of that one, I think.
Well, thank you. I mean, I'm excited, but, you know, and I've said this before, people ask me, why would you do this? But I always say, if you see a turtle sitting on a fence post, you know, he didn't get there by himself. And and most people ask me, why would you put a turtle on a fence post, which is a good question. It's just a great analogy for understanding that anything that's accomplished, quote, by anyone. I mean, I know Kelly's going to have an amazing year and we're going to have some more amazing accomplishments. And I know Kelly well enough to know also that he won't sit there thinking, look there, what I did. Kelly knows he's got a team that's helping him succeed.
That's wonderful. Well, listen, we're talking a lot about leadership. So let's talk a little bit about what you and I have been doing here. So the president's perspective was originally a written opinion by the president, used to come out every month. And very cleverly, Dane Reinhardt, who was past president with his co-host David Smith, made this into a podcast and really made it very interactive. And then you rebranded this into what is now the Jump Off. And this year we focused exclusively on highlighting other leaders in our association and our industry. And we've had some really phenomenal, intimate conversations with some real big names in our field and in our association. What are some of your favorite moments? We've had so many good guests. I know we're going to forget a couple here and there, but.
There's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when I stand up at the Academy Awards, I'm going to, you know,
you're going to miss someone.
Somebody I should, you know. Or when I win the Masters or something like that, there's going to be somebody I didn't know. I'm going to leave out. But, you know, some notable conversations. You know, one that stands out is with David Mordo. And, you know, he already gets so much love and attention. I just hate to lead off and mention him first. But it was such a frank conversation. And David Mordo certainly stands out as a leader in our industry. And interestingly enough, as a leader, you know, he is the Region 2 Vice President, RVP for Region 2. You know, he has chaired our Ledge Council, you know, but he's not been president of NAHU, but he has had a profound impact with his leadership. And the thing that really came across from David is how human we all are and how even when we step up to lead, we're always struggling against, you know, our own self-doubts and whatever, know, there's no one who is successful that hasn't had failures. And, you know, the failures should shape us and strengthen us, but sometimes they're stumbling blocks or barriers, or they create doubt. And we had a great conversation with David Mordo, arguably one of the best legislative chairs we've ever had, you know, of just that struggle, even as he goes forward today, you know, overcoming those past failures and knowing that you can do something meaningful. So I thought that was a great conversation. You know, Reed Rasmussen is an amazing, you know, marketer, communicator. I give him a lot of credit for just all the visibility we got on the name change heading into convention. Did a great, you know, bunch of little short 1-minute interviews talking with leaders and members around the country about the new name. And so he was so insightful with, you know, really one of the things we're focusing on so much is creating member engagement and what leadership looks like. And you know, and I know Susan Ryder in the Q&A asked about, you know, what does involvement for future leaders look like? And it looks a lot like, I would say, so what a Kevin Tropy's done or what a Reed has done, you know, and that is, you know, no really formal role in terms of being an RVP or something like that. But leaders don't always have to be president to be, you know, recognized as a leader. And so Reed's a good example of that. So anybody that's coming in now as new members, find an area that you're passionate and start working there. It may lead you to take on some things like a regional vice president role or get crazy and run for secretary or something like that. But so that was a great conversation, you know, how Reed and his engagement, Kevin's, I think about, has had a profound impact on the association and on all and on members, not just formally through the association, through their leadership, through their engagement. I could go on. Honestly, one of the best conversations we had was with David Contorno. I know you and David are particularly close, but David, you know, David got in, you know, he's been a member of the association for a long time, but when Dave, you know, he's such a passionate person. When he started looking for better ways for the healthcare system to work, for the, you know, the benefit plan structure to work for members, he quite frankly annoyed a lot of people, you know. But I appreciated that he didn't stop there. He could have just, you know, gotten ticked off and taken his things and gone home. But he chose to stay engaged and his leadership, and I know Kelly was a big part of that conversation with David early on to say, you know, tell me more. Let's figure out how does this fit? How does it become a part of the scope of what we're doing? That conversation with David was awesome. And we did that actually at the U-Powered convention in wherever we were, somewhere out west.
Phoenix,
that's right.
Yeah.
So those are some that stood out, and by no means is that everything.
Yeah, I do want to give a little shout out to Michelle Natardi. We interviewed her a little bit later in the series, and she was incredibly kind to volunteer because she was a new member that we ran into at Capital Conference.
Yes.
And was really engaged right from the very beginning. You know, I always say Capital Conference was it for me. You know, I didn't really take NAHU all that seriously until I went to my first CapCon, and she started out at CapCon. So she was really jazzed up about everything, but she taught us, in our conversation, how important it is that our association continues to embrace diversity, equity, and inclusion. She was a great sport to have that conversation so new with us. And then one other thing I'll tell you, Eugene, that I really enjoyed this year was getting to know Dan Parker. He's been on every single one of our podcasts except that one. Funny story for our audience, we were left to our own devices in CapCon to record I forget who, maybe it was Don McFarland, and Dan, you know, it was the only time ever that he had somewhere else to be. And Eugene and I, the combination of the two of us, were just disastrous. And I think we ended up recording all of our technology ineptness on Dan's computer. But he is our moderator, our organizer, our editor, and he really makes us sound good. So hopefully he can't help us with this live, of course, but he's done a fantastic job all year, I'm sure.
Well, he has, and people don't know. They don't see him, but he's in the background right now pulling all the strings. Actually, if he wanted to make us look bad, he could make us disappear or whatever. But
maybe we should really make him do a blooper reel, Eugene. Can you do a blooper reel for us, Dan?
He's got a full blooper reel out of us just doing the recording with Dawn without him.
I know. This is what happens when you're not involved, Dan. Disaster.
Well, thank you. Thank you for saying such nice things about me. I really appreciate that. It's been really nice working on your podcast. Like, I've really enjoyed it. Like, listening to the conversations that you guys have had has been really nice. And it's even given me, I mean, I've been on staff for about three and a half years now, which is not that long compared to some other staff, but you know, it gives me a good idea of where this association's heading. I don't know. I didn't mean to go on a tirade. You were just
mentioning
it.
That's awesome.
But I really enjoyed the podcast. I learned a lot about my own association that I'm working for.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, I tell Dan he's not only the voice of God, he's the hands of God when it comes to these podcasts. So,
Dan, you might be our next t-shirt fundraiser. You never know. Might have to put your face on a t-shirt next time.
That'd be terrifying.
Well, okay. So Eugene, this, I'm gonna throw an even trickier question at you. Our time at the President's Jump Off podcast was limited. So there were some people that we didn't get scheduled. Who do you wish we could have fit in this year that we haven't?
Well, one guy that's probably none of you know him. He's been a member of Health Underwriters for years, and he runs a company here. I mean, literally his office is across the street from my office. His name is Ryan Eaton, and Ryan Eaton runs Morgan White Group, or, division of the Morgan White Group. And Ryan does a podcast called Insurance Leadership Podcast, and he had me on his podcast. I really think it was one of his best podcasts. Okay, that's my opinion. But Ryan is, they use insurance solutions to help provide meet needs for members. And they're not doing a lot in the self-funded space, but they're doing a lot in the insurance space. And Ryan, through his Insurance Leadership Podcast, has really created a great dialogue with insurance leaders across the country. And so I'd love to add that experience, that perspective to the dialogue. And he's never held any formal leadership offices with NAHU, but he's someone that's impacting the industry in an area of the industry that we need to continually focus on and build up. So Ryan, shout out to you, my friend. I hope you're listening, or you get to listen to it. I think of some other former leaders, past leaders for NAHU, John Nelson, an immensely interesting person, has created an amazing company and quietly still has a large impact on a lot of individuals in the association, in particular in the association in California. And he's a very gracious person. Shortly after I returned home from, I say returned home, remember, I didn't get to leave home for when I became NAHU president, but a couple of weeks after I became NAHU president, he sent me this beautifully framed picture of the picture from the magazine and article of me being president. And he put it together himself and packaged it and sent it to me. And that was very thoughtful. That, I love to send people notes, but so much more thoughtful than even just a note of congratulations. So an amazing guy that's still impacting lives of a lot of people. And go on, I think, Marty McCary, who I've just gotten to be really good friends with in the past few months, he's part of that conversation we need to have, physicians at the table with us, talking about what's going wrong in healthcare and what can we do together. Would have loved to have him on. Andy Neary, just everybody needs a pep talk and a coach. And he's so good at doing that. So that's an example. I mean, I've literally got about 10 names written on my list here, which maybe, who knows, maybe that's the list for some more podcasts.
Maybe. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Eugene, because as we are coming to the end, and it actually, before I go into the next question, we did have a podcast with a physician. I think it might be the next one coming out. I do think we've got some momentum going there. But there has been some question. Now that you're not president anymore and I'm not the chair of leadership development anymore, we've had a few people on LinkedIn ask, well, can we keep doing the jump off? So, I mean, what are we going to do here, Eugene? Or do we have any plans for you to become a talk show host or anything like that?
Well, I mean, I would only do that if I had a great co-host that was willing to continue with me.
Dan, this is where you turn your camera on.
He's the voice of God in the hands of God. Here's, in fact, this relates absolutely to one of the questions. And one of the questions in the Q&A was, you know, we've got built this great momentum toward reshaping the future and change within the association. And how do we continue that? And I'm just going to say how we continue that is because of the leadership, not who is the president now or who was the president, you know, till a couple of weeks ago. But if there's anyone passionate about continued change and innovation and reshaping the future of our association and our profession, it's Kelly Fristo. So there's no opportunity for loss of momentum in that area because of Kelly's leadership. But then you back that up by a board that shares those values and the committee chairs across the board. I mean, Kelly is place great people in it to take place of the great people that we had in place this year. So I think the future is still bright because of the passion, the vision, and the commitment of the leadership that's in place within AHU. I think there's a space for continuing the Jump Off podcast. I do, because I want to use this is a vehicle to continue the conversation about reshaping our profession, reshaping the future of healthcare, and to broaden that scope of discussion with leaders from across the country in the technology space, in the carrier space. I mean, you know, I'll pick on David. David loves to pick on carriers, you know, but carriers are going to have a role in the future of healthcare. They need to be a part of the conversation. How do we all engage together to create the solutions? So, Marty McCary, maybe he'll be our first guest on the Jump Off podcast, the not president's podcast, just the Jump Off podcast, where I want to jump off into conversations about the future of our profession, the future of healthcare, and what we can do to create an industry, a culture that moves, as I like to say, moves members, individuals closer to quality and affordable healthcare.
I love it. You know, I'm on board, Eugene. If we're going to continue this thing, I'm with you. We'll try to take Dan with us, but we'll see. He might have another profession to focus on. Okay, so we did have another question come up in the Q&A. So I don't think he's on anymore, but this does come from Contorno. He says, what did you do to best ensure not only the smooth transition of power we need, but a continuation of the change in momentum that you helped spearhead? Which I think you just touched on a little bit.
That was what I was speaking to. I'd seen that.
I was a bit curious though about do you back office conversations, do you and Kelly get together beforehand? Do you meet up for drinks and talk about the good, the bad, and what he's gonna continue on? Is it informal, formal? What's that back office process like?
Yeah, so and first of all, the answer to that is yes. And Kelly and I just spoke 2 days ago. We've got a board meeting coming up. We've got an executive committee meeting tomorrow morning. And probably Kelly and I spent about 30 minutes on the phone and, just talking about some things. Kelly and I have had an ongoing dialogue. I mean, you know, Kelly has been, so you know me, I can be very optimistic, enthusiastic. You know, I want to believe the best things are going to happen. Kelly is that, but Kelly also has a very practical, you know, here are the hurdles and, you know, here's a reality check for you, Gene. And, you know, our dialogue, our conversation began when I announced to Kelly, when I say I announced to Kelly, literally walked up to him at a convention and said, I'm going to run for NHE secretary next year. And Kelly point blank asked me, why in the hell would you do that? And he said, and he started pointing out all the shortcomings, all of the challenges. And, you know, at first, you know, I took that as, well, aren't you negative? honestly, it just caught me off guard. And then as I started processing it, you know, what Kelly was really saying is, don't step into this role lightly. Here are the challenges I see. So, you know, really since that conversation, Kelly and I have been in a continual conversation about the challenges and the opportunities for the association, the challenges and opportunities in healthcare and for this profession. So yes, it's been a conversation. It continues to be a conversation.
Well, Eugene, the reason I wanted to come back around to a more robust answer to David's question was, I think, you know, part of my role as the chair of leadership development, and what I truly hadn't realized a whole lot in my prior roles in local chapters and even state chapters was how incredibly important it is to engage in succession planning before you even get to the presidency, right? And I think I used to look at, you know, I remember when you ran for secretary, of course, and I used to think like, wow, that seems like a drag. You know, you got to sign up for like 5-6 years of commitment when you just really want to be president, right? You just want to do maybe the year before and the year after. But I think at this point, especially serving on the leadership development and putting out some really big programs and initiatives, just like you did as president, you really do have to have a considerable runway and head start. And that's where a lot of our succession planning really comes in handy. And I think we're going to focus a lot more on that into the future, but how do we get our chapters into a position where they have a plan for the future so that we're not always ebbing and flowing so deeply with our success? And I think you and Kelly have really done a great job partnering to get Kelly to this point, you know, and he seems excited. I'm excited for his leadership too.
Absolutely. And you know, that succession planning didn't just start and, you know, I tried to recognize them at convention, but, you know, Pat Griffey and Dane Reinhart, honestly, you know, God knows them and God knows me. I would have been one miserable soul if my whole presidency would have been under COVID. The strength, the vision, the integrity, the leadership with which they led us into it and began adapting as Pat Griffey was serving as president, and then Dane through his whole year guiding us through managing this association under this shutdown, was incredible. And in all of that, we'd already begun, you know, not planning to be dealing with a COVID crisis, but, you know, Pat had really set the stage well for, you know, creating a continuity of vision and a continuity of movement, you know. So, you know, she really, you know, look, we've had some great leaders all along the way, but there was sort of a commitment that Dane and Pat and Kelly and I made that, you know, being president is not about me. Being president is not about the president. It's about the association. And so really starting, you know, starting there was where I think we really became very passionate about knowing it's not a ride. It's not about me. It's all about making sure we're setting the stage for whoever comes behind us to enjoy greater success.
I love that. Eugene, we've been talking for a while and I feel like we could talk for a little while longer. So maybe that is a good reason to continue the Jump Off podcast, but you do have some more obligations in the association. There's a few chapters you're going to be visiting, a few conferences you're going to be making appearances at, and hopefully we'll run into each other. I know we will for a couple. But you have to get back to your day job too. Aside from your year as immediate past president, I'm assuming you're going to continue to be a big part of what will now be NABIP, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not going to put in this much work and just walk away.
And then right? just walk away.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, people ask me about, you know, business and when you're going to retire. And I'm going like, oh my gosh, I've spent 20 years building this business to this point. Retirement's not even in my vernacular right now. I mean, I'm excited with our TPA, with the things we're doing. I'm excited that we can play a role in the future of healthcare and what it looks like and how we move members closer to quality and affordable healthcare. And the same thing with now the National Association of Benefits and Insurance Professionals. I've invested 20 years in trying to be a part of this and build it up. So no, I'm not just going to fade into the woodworks. I'm not going away. And there's always an opportunity to be engaged. I mean, you know, ask Reed and ask Kevin Trokey. You don't have to have a formal office to be very busy and spend a lot of hours every week, every month, every year being a part of the association. I plan to be involved, you know, where I see an opportunity to be involved. But more specifically, I've agreed to and just took over as chair of the National Association of Benefits and Insurance Professionals Education Foundation. And, you know, I started on the PAC and, you know, Bill Hepscher, who was, you know, the chairman I selected for the PAC for this year during my year as president. And Bill and all these people have come before him have done a tremendous job. We totally re-engineered the PAC and it operates 100%, 180 degrees different than when I first stepped onto the PAC board. I'd like to say that now NAHU as a board, as an association, is operating 180 degrees different. We've still got some things to fix. We're not perfect, but the vision, the scope, the passion, the excitement for the future, it's a lot different than it was 20 years ago. The piece that hadn't been addressed is the Education Foundation. I think the Education Foundation is going to be one of our strongest tools for member education, for educating the public about how healthcare can work and what they can do to, you know, be more engaged, take some responsibility. But I think the Education Foundation is going to play a huge role in that. And so I've agreed to chair that for the next couple of years at least. And let's see if we can, you know, reshape the Education Foundation to be aligned and support the mission of NAHU or NABIP.
NABIP, we've got to figure that out. NABIP, NABIP, NABIP.
I'm going to tell you this. Our PR firm, we're not going to argue over it. We're going to tell everybody.
We're going to have one.
What it is, it's going to be one.
Okay, good.
There's only one. There's only one Eugene. There's going to be one NABIP.
Gotcha. Well, I'm excited for the Education Foundation. It's another thing, and Catherine Cooper kind of touched on this a little bit in the chat. She said, as regional VP on the Board of Trustees, I'm very confident in the future leaders of our executive board, excited to see where we'll go from here, and that Eugene set the stage and led many initiatives to move us forward. And I think you're probably going to do the same with the Education Foundation. You know, it was something that I really didn't know a lot about or didn't understand very well until you and I started talking about it somewhat recently. And it is a platform for us to put out education about what healthcare really is, what it really should be, and how we're working to fix it. And I'm sure you'll do a phenomenal job. So I got two more questions for you. The first one is, do you have any piece of advice for, we talked about Kelly, but do you have one single or a couple pieces of advice for Kelly as he launches forward into his presidency this year?
Yeah, I've already given it to him. I said, you know, one is just a very practical thing. It's like, have somebody coordinate your calendar. that was a nightmare. I twice thought I booked myself on a 7 a.m. flight. It was a 7 p.m. flight. Have somebody handle your calendar. That's just very practical advice. And I would say, you know, I sort of fell into that, honestly, because early on, you know, I came in and there wasn't much travel. And, you know, it just kind of built like a crescendo, kept getting, you know, more and more demands. And so all of a sudden I was really in over my head trying to handle business, handle the board stuff, and handle the travel stuff. So that's a very practical piece of advice. And, you know, I think the other advice Kelly knows, it's let your leaders lead. And you be a catalyst for creating consensus and unity.
I love that. I think I'm going to quote you on that, Eugene. Next time we put out some marketing for our jump off, that was beautiful. Last question, and then we'll let everybody get back to their day. What do you want people to take away from your year of leadership?
Oh, golly, that's a, you know, it's on the
that's notes. That's a big question.
I never got that. That's a tough question. Look, I think what you take away is that nobody accomplishes anything significant alone. And you have to have a shared vision. So as leaders, your job is to create a vision and create the buy-in, because you're not going to get there by yourself.
I love that. Eugene, it's been absolutely phenomenal to work underneath you this year. I am thrilled that we'll get to continue to work together some way, somehow. For those people that joined us on the webinar, thank you so much for tuning in. I see some familiar names. Hi, Aaron. Hi, Ben. Hi, Tim. Hi. Susie's on still too. Susan Ryder. There's a lot of our supporters here on the line, Eugene, and many, many more out there. Really quickly, thank you for everybody who participated in the Mordo shirt fundraiser. We did manage to sell enough shirts to get our matches so that we will have our folks donating to the NAHU admin fund. That was incredibly successful, and we're really happy to help the association. So, Eugene, I know this is not going to be our last podcast, right?
No, it's not going to be our last podcast.
Absolutely not. Well, it's been wonderful. Thank you for letting me interview you, by the way. I think you were a little hesitant to be in the hot seat. You're used to interviewing a bunch of other people, but as usual, you were absolutely brilliant. And, let's just keep on keeping on. Let's keep jumping off. That's my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank everybody for being on. Thank you for being a part of the quote President's podcast, the Jump Off podcast this last year. And we want you to be a part of the conversation going forward. There's so much opportunity for our future, and you need to be a part of that conversation.
We all do. Thanks, Eugene. Dan, I think we can sign off for our last President's Jump Off podcast.
Awesome. Thank you, guys, for a great podcast. And thank you, everyone, for attending.